Proverbs chapter 6. And today we look at verses 16 to 19. It's its own little package. And the title is Seven Things That God Hates. So God does hate some things. And seven of them are listed here in Proverbs for us by God and His Word. But first, just a review of what we've covered so far as we walk through the major topics. First, we looked at the fear of the Lord. Then, the importance of acquiring wisdom and knowledge from God's Word. Then, separation and peer pressure. Number four was walk uprightly and be blessed. Number five was the fruits of foolishness and wickedness. Number six was trust in the Lord. Number seven was what the Bible teaches about finances in Proverbs. Number eight was keep thy heart, protect your heart. Number nine was the tongue, big section on the tongue, and all the warnings and guidelines about the tongue. Number 10 was the family in Proverbs. Number 11 was God's power, and we did a little side study on the name of the Lord being a strong tower. And then sluggardness or slothfulness versus diligence and work, which we looked at last time. Today, like I said, seven things that God hates. So I think the importance is that we take note of these things. Amen. If God hates them, then it means He obviously doesn't want them to be part of our lives as we try to serve Him. And there are things that we need to keep a lookout for. And so, very important passage. And that's 16 through 19. So, Brother Scott, I'm going to ask you to read it by introduction, and we'll pray and dive in. Those are the seven things. So let's pray. Lord, I pray now that you would use your word to teach us, to guide us. We pray the Holy Spirit would guide us into truth. And Lord, that each of us would grow in our own faith as we hear from your word today. So guide us, bless us. May we honor you through this study, and may, Lord, we leave changed by it. We love you and pray in Christ's name. Amen. Did you notice that the last two have to do with the tongue? Isn't that interesting? So the tongue can get us into a lot of trouble, can't it? But we'll get there. Let's start at the beginning. God hates a proud look. So we already know from other passages that God hates pride. Where did pride come from? Help me out. Where did it all begin? Pardon? It was before then. Exactly. The devil. Remember? That was his fall. It was all about pride. And you read about it in Isaiah chapter 14, where the devil, through pride, wanted God's throne, wanted God's power, wanted God's position. And he said, I will be like the Most High. And so pride began there, and it's one of our major issues as fallen mankind, isn't it not? This thing of pride. Really, a lot of our issues, when you peel away the layers underneath, sits pride a lot of times. Unforgiveness, for example. The reason we don't forgive is because of pride. Because we're right and they're wrong. And other sins as well. So God hates pride. He hates a proud look. If you look at chapter 8, verse 13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. That's God speaking. So God hates pride and he hates the proud look. So we'll walk through some scriptures and see that Proverbs has a lot to say about this sin of pride. So, Howard, if you could do 13:10. And Roy, if you could do 15:25. And Brother Mark, 16:5. Any other volunteers in this section to read? Maggie, 16:18. Any others? James, 18:12. Anybody over here? Jackie 20, verse 6. Calvin 21:4, and any others? Okay, that's far enough. So let's see what the Bible has to say in Proverbs about this sin of pride and the proud look. So Howard, if you could start us off there with 13:10. So notice it's pride that leads to contention. That's the underlying problem with contention is pride. All right, 15:25. So, again, we see God hates pride. All right, 16:5.
Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. So hand you in hand, he shall not be unpunished.
So there we see that pride in the heart is an abomination. That's a pretty strong word, isn't it? And it says God will punish it. Then probably the most misquoted verse in the entire Bible, 16:18. Who did I give that one to? So, how does the world say it? Pride goeth before a fall, right? We've all heard it. They're trying to quote the Bible. That's just being misquoted. The verse is pride goeth before destruction and an haughty spirit before a fall. But that's why I mentioned it. It's one of the most common sayings from Proverbs. But the point of it is still the same, and that is God hates pride, and pride leads to destruction and a fall. All right, 18:12. So again, a haughty heart leads to destruction. Then chapter 20, verse 6. That's pride there, isn't it? Proclaiming our own goodness. Well, we don't have any. But this is a tendency of our hearts, isn't it? Okay, 21:4, Calvin.
In my look and a proud heart and the child of the wicked is sin.
Well, that's pretty clear, isn't it? It's sin. All right, and then did I give out any more verses? Okay, let's look at a couple more. 28:25. As you can see, there are plenty in Proverbs warning us about this sin of pride. So notice 28:25, he that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. So we see that pride leads to a lot of issues with others. And then chapter 29, verse 25, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso... That's not the right verse. Oh, 29:23. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. And then chapter 30, verse 13. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. This was written 3,000 years ago, but I think it's talking about this generation as well, isn't it? How lofty. In other words, how proud are they about man and man's accomplishments? So God hates, that's the first thing of the seven things, is God hates pride. We get to the New Testament, no change. 1 Peter 5:5, it says, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. And we know that humility is one of the traits that we are to emulate of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the opposite of pride, of course. So the first thing we see is God hates pride. Now, the opposite of that, of course, is that God wants humility and blesses humility, which is also in Proverbs. So let's look at chapter 3, verse 34, Brother Scott, if you could read that for us. And we'll look at the flip side, and that is God blessing humility. So chapter 3, verse 34. So he giveth grace to the lowly. And you'll see this theme through Proverbs. So chapter 11, verse 2, Howard, and 15:33, Roy, 16:19, Mark, and 18:12 again. Who did 18:12 before? Was that you, Maggie? It was James. Do 18:12 again, because we're going to do the flip side. and 22:4, Maggie, and Jackie 29:23. So we're looking at the flip side of pride, and that is humility. So we've already seen God punishes pride, but he blesses humility. So Howard 11, verse 2.
Pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom.
With the lowly is wisdom. 15:13.
The fear of the Lord is instruction and wisdom, and before honor is humility.
Before honor is humility. And then Mark 16:19.
Here it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly, and to divide the spoil with the proud.
A humble spirit. This is what God is after. 18:12 again, James.
Before destruction, the heart of man is guilty, and before honor is humility.
Before honor is humility again. 22:4.
By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life.
So again, look at the blessings that come from being humble. And then 29:23.
Man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit.
So God hates pride. And God loves humility. And that's the first of the seven things here in Proverbs chapter 6. God hates the proud look. We saw in chapter 8, verse 13, he hates pride itself. The second thing God hates, any questions about the first one? God hates pride. Pride was the fall of the devil. And pride is one of our underlying sin issues. And God hates it. Questions, comments? All right, the second thing he hates is a lying tongue. You know, I mentioned there were two. Actually, three of the seven have to do with the tongue. Three of seven. Think about that. Have to do with what we say. All right, so chapter 6, verse 17, it says he hates a lying tongue. So let's see what the Bible has to say about lying. So 12:22, Kelvin. 12:19, thank you, Brad. And then we'll start back over here, Brother Scott, 14:25, Brother Howard, 19:22, and Brother Roy, 26:28. So this is lying. The second thing God hates is a lying tongue. So 12:22.
Lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight.
There's that word abomination again. We saw the same word for pride, didn't we? Lying lips are abomination. Good verse to teach children as they're growing up. 12:19.
The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment.
And then 14:25, Brother Scott.
A true witness delivereth souls, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies.
Amen. And then 26:28. So not only does God hate lying, but God says those who lie actually hate the people that are hurt by their lies. Isn't that interesting how that works? Jesus in the New Testament in John chapter 8, verse 44, he said to the Pharisees, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He says he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. But then he finishes by saying, and when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So he's not only the father of pride, but he's the father of lies, the devil. So when we have pride or when we are lying, we are doing the work of the devil, because he is the father of those things. God hates pride and God hates a lying tongue. God loves honesty. Amen. Howard 12:17, we'll see honesty, and Maggie 12:19, and James 14:5. So 12:17, Howard.
He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit.
And then 12:19.
The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment.
The lip of truth. And then 14:5. So a faithful witness will not lie. So God hates pride and God hates a lying tongue. Any questions about that? We won't spend a lot of time on the third one, But God hates murder. Amen. And when we think of murder, where do we immediately go to? The first recorded sin is Adam and Eve taking of the fruit. But the first sin of their children that's recorded is murder. I guess before murder, though, came envy. But murder. First two offspring of Adam and Eve, one killed the other. And God hates hands that shed innocent blood. So we don't need to spend a lot of time on that one, do we? We know God hates murder. And we're told that murder is evil and it's sin and so forth. So the fourth thing that God hates is a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. God's covering all the bases here, isn't he? So he's going to deal with our tongue, but he's also going to deal with our thought life. Uh-oh. But nice if he would have left that alone, huh? So let's see what he has to say about this wicked imagination. There's actually a lot of verses in Proverbs about it. I forget where I left off, so I'm going to start over. 12:20, Brother Scott. 14:22, Brother Howard. 15:26, Brother Roy. 24:8, Brother Mark. 24:9, Maggie, and 30:32, James. We'll stop there for now. So, God hates a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. So, remember, we're talking about thoughts here, right? Imaginations. 12:20, Brother Scott.
Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but to the counselors of peace is joy.
That imagine evil. All right, 14:22, Howard.
Do not fear. Do they that not err that devise evil, but mercy and truth shall be to them that devise good?
There's that word devise again, or deviseth, thinketh. And then 15:26. The thoughts of the wicked. And then 24:8.
He that devises.
That word deviseth is in the Proverbs a lot, isn't it? Deviseth to do evil. And then 24:9.
The thought of foolishness is sin, and the scorner is an abomination to men.
The thought of foolishness is sin. That'd be an easy memory verse, wouldn't it? Just that one little phrase. The thought of foolishness is sin. And then 30:32. If thou hast thought evil. So the fourth thing that God hates is those that devise wicked imaginations. And he also talks about how he blesses when our thoughts are right, which is very similar to what we saw before with humility and honesty. So let's look at those quickly. 12:5. Notice it says, the thoughts of the righteous are right. So he says when we're striving to live for the Lord, that it also affects our thought life. And then chapter 16, verse 3. One of the ways that our thoughts can be established, it says here, is to commit our works unto the Lord. Notice 16:3. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Very important truth. Because God says in Romans 8, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. We can be carnally minded or we can be spiritually minded. Is it a battle between those two? All the time. That's why Paul tells us Philippians 4:8, think on these things, right? And also 2 Corinthians chapter 10, let's look at it quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. Very important passage about our thoughts. And the fourth thing that God hates here is when we devise wicked imaginations. Well, that word imaginations is in this passage, 2 Corinthians 10. Kelvin, could you read verses 4 and 5 for us?
For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
Casting down what? That takes conscious effort to cast something down, right? So it's work, it's a battle for our thought life to cast down those imaginations. And what is the thing that it says God hates? Wicked imaginations. We've had to cast them down. We have to work at it. And then it says, and bringing into captivity. So there's more work. To bring something into captivity takes work, doesn't it? Bring into captivity every what? Thought to the obedience of Christ. So one of the battlegrounds that we're going to face until we leave this earth is in our minds. And it's important for us to know that God hates those that devise wicked imaginations. Because the devil's going to attack us in our thoughts, as we just saw. That's one of the battlegrounds. So that's number four of God hates. Any thoughts or questions on that one? All right, number five, it says, God hates feet that be swift in running to mischief. Does the world run to mischief? Pretty much every day. But God definitely doesn't want it from his children, does he? So, Brother Scott, could you read chapter 4, 14 to 19? And we're talking here about feet that be swift in running to mischief. So chapter 4, verses 14 to 19. Chapter 4 of Proverbs, yep.
Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not except they that have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause such a fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness, and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as a shining light, that shineth more and more to the perfect day. The way of the wicked is in darkness, it is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble.
They know not at what they stumble. But did you see the word mischief there? Not only do they run to mischief, talking about the evil men and the evil way, but it says that they want to cause others to fall. Did you see that? Unless they can cause some to fall. So is the world keen to try to help Christians fall? Absolutely. The devil uses them all the time. So we have to be very careful, don't we? That we don't get caught up in this tendency for our feet to be swift in running to mischief. Mischief, that's a good word, isn't it? Chapter 10, verse 23 is another verse on this. Let's turn there. It is as sport to a fool to do mischief. In other words, it's fun to a fool to be mischievous. But Christians aren't to be mischievous, are we? So we're not to have feet that be swift in running to mischief. That's the fifth thing that God hates. Any questions, comments on that? So we've already looked. Yes, Jackie.
I just think how so much of our TV these days is caught focusing around that with this reality TV. People are so entertained by seeing others sin or getting hurt or, you know,
or abuse one another.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, people take pleasure in it. God hates it. Amen? So 6 and 7 also deal with the tongue. So that 3 of the 7 deal with the tongue. Number 6 is a false witness that speaketh lies. And that's also one of the Ten Commandments, is it not? Don't bear false witness, which is repeated in the New Testament. And then the 7th is those that sow discord. So we'll see if we can get through these. So number 6, God hates a false witness that speaketh lies. Very important to the Lord that we never bear false witness against another. So important that he made it one of the Ten Commandments. There's only 10 commandments in the Old Testament as far as the official Ten Commandments. Again, they're all repeated in the New Testament except for number 4 on the Sabbath. So God hates this. He hates a false witness. So let's look at what the Bible has to say. I finished at James. So, Jackie, if you could do 12:17 and Brad 14:5 and Kelvin 14:25, and then we'll start over here. So let's just do those three for starters. 12:17. A false witness. And then 14:5.
A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will otherwise.
A false witness. And then 14:25.
A true witness delivereth souls, but a deceitful witness speaks lies.
So a deceitful witness. And then Brother Scott, 19:5. Howard, 19:9. Roy, 19:28. Mark, 21:28. Maggie 24:28 and James 25:18. A long list of verses about being a false witness. So let's walk through them. 19:5, Brother Scott.
A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape.
And then 19:9, Howard. And then 19:28. An ungodly witness. Do you see what it says? They scorneth judgment. The world scorns judgment, don't they? To the point that they say there's no God. That's scorning judgment. And then 21:28.
A false witness shall perish, but the man that heareth speaketh confidently.
And then 24:28. And then 25:18. A mole and a sword and a sharp arrow is how God describes someone who is a false witness against his neighbor. So the sixth thing that God hates is bearing false witness. False witness that speaketh lies. Thoughts or questions about that one, number 6? Of the 7 things God hates in Proverbs. The last one, very applicable to today, especially in churches. He that soweth discord among who? Brethren. Remember, this was written 3,000 years ago. And yet, how modern is it? He that soweth discord among brethren. So let's see what Proverbs has to say about this sowing of the discord. I forget where I stopped. James, okay. 11:9, Jackie, and 11:13, Brad, and 13:10, Kelvin. 16:28, Brother Scott. 17:9, Brother Howard. 18:6, Roy. 18:19, Mark. 20:3, Maggie, 22:10, James. How's that for a long list? So let's start at 11:9.
A hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor, but through knowledge shall first be delivered.
So notice the destruction that comes to others. And then 11:13. And then 13:10.
Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well advised is wisdom.
Amen. And then 16:28, Brother Scott.
A proud man sows strife, and a whisperer separateth chief brethren.
And then 17:9, Howard.
He that covereth the transgression seeketh love, but he that repenteth amendeth separateth every friendless.
And then 18:6. And very important, 18:19, Brother Mark.
A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bar of a castle.
Remember, we're talking about sowing discord among the brethren, and it says a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. 20, verse 3.
It is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling.
And then 22:10, James.
Cast out the swarm, and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease.
And then we'll look at two more, 26:20 and 21. It says, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. So we're talking here about those that sow discord among the brethren. We'll look at one verse in the New Testament, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Then we'll have to stop, 2 Timothy 2:23. But these are seven things in Proverbs that God hates. Notice 2 Timothy 2:23. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. Usually when someone is trying to sow discord, especially in a doctrinal direction, they do it through questions. By asking hypothetical questions to try to get you thinking in the wrong direction. So, how the devil works. God's warning us here to avoid foolish and unlearned questions. It's good advice, isn't it? Knowing that they do gender strifes. So, God hates these seven things in Proverbs. He lists them for us. A proud look, a lying tongue, murder, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Any thoughts or questions about the seven things that God hates in Proverbs?